interested in. I think it'd be great if there was a group of ladies wanted to go to that. So keep that in mind as we head down. It's not till November, so you've got a little bit of time to make decisions. Also, wanted to let everybody know that next Sunday we are going to be having communion together as part of the service. That communion will be in individual served cups that are all sealed so that we don't have to worry about any of those things. There'll be a container at the entranceway to the sanctuary, and you'll be able to pick up your communion juice and wafer all packaged together. We used them the last time we had communion as well, but just wanted to let people know they'll be available, and then during the service we'll open those and have communion together. And so keep that in mind for next week. Wanted to make a couple of prayer requests. Continue to remember Dana and Virginia Brooks. Virginia fell, broke her arm and her hip, had surgery on her hip, and she is recuperating at Westview Healthy Living. Keep her in your prayers. They're working to get Dana to be able to go there as well. Probably 8 weeks, maybe longer, for the recuperation. And so they're trying to work that out. So keep them in prayer as we go forward and make that an issue in the days to come. Also, ask you to remember for this little boy, Jensen Keller. He's 5 years old, and he is in need of a heart transplant, so please keep him in your prayers. One of the guys that play on our softball team, it's his nephew, and so please keep that family in your prayers. Also, we want you to keep the Melrose Elementary School in your prayers. And here's why. We are in the process of trying to adopt the Melrose Elementary School. It's in the courts. We're trying to get it figured out. But one of the things that we've agreed with them to do is on the first Friday of the month, we're going to buy donuts for the teachers and coffee and have that available for them to kind of just tell them, hey, we care. And I'm going to be meeting with the principal possibly this week or the following week to kind of see if there's some other things we might be able to be involved with going on at the school. And so if you would keep that as a matter of prayer, but especially on Friday, that the teachers there and the secretaries and the principals and the custodians and all of that, 39 employees, and we're going to take them donuts and coffee and let them know we appreciate them as we continue in our relationship together. So keep that in your mind as well. This afternoon, Ed Yund's service will be at Central Christian Church. Ed Yund is the father of Carol Mills, and so please keep the family in your prayers as they have that service this afternoon, and especially pray for the pastor. I'll be officiating there and would appreciate your prayers as well. The rest of the announcements are pretty much there in the bulletin. You can read and peruse them over. Any prayer requests that I may have missed? Yes. Okay, Mark and Kathy Williams and Earl Chrisman. And Earl has COVID. Okay. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father and our God, It's great to be alive. It's great to be alive in a country where we truly have freedom. It's just great to see your hand at work in so many different ways throughout the individuals that we meet and that are a part of our congregation. And Lord, you're doing some fantastic things, and we're just really excited. We're excited about the opportunity, Lord, to continue to bridge with Melrose Elementary School and Lord, to let the families there know and the teachers as well as the students that we're a church that loves kids and Lord, we just want them to know that you love them. Lord, help us with that message. Help us, Lord, to continue to ferret out and to find ways to share your love with those we meet on a daily basis. There's so much negativism in our world. There's so much that pushes us down and tries to limit us. Lord, help us to find those ways to spring forth with new life and to share with the world the difference that you've made in our hearts. Grant us a joy that knows no bounds, that overflows and gets on the people that are around us, whether they want it or not. Lord, help us to be those types of individuals sharing your love with those that we meet. Lord, we think of folks that are struggling. And Lord, we ask you to be with Virginia Brooks and with Dana. And Lord, heal the body and give strength to the soul. And Lord, it would be so great for them to be able to be together. And Lord, just work that out. Watch over their family. We know of their dedication to you. And Lord, just continue to be with them. And Lord, we ask you to be with those that are struggling with COVID and all of us here in some way, shape, or form either have experienced or know someone very well who has gone through it. And we just ask that you would continue to pour out your healing power on people that, Lord, they'd be able to fight this sickness, this disease, and get over it. Lord, we trust you for all things and ask that your will would be done in hearts and lives. And Lord, we think of those and we think of Mark and Kathy and we ask you to be with them and the difficulties and the struggles that they're going through. Lord, may your hand of healing be upon them and give them strength. And Lord, we ask you to be with John Wood as they take off tomorrow morning for Inez, Kentucky with a load of food and furniture and supplies. And Lord, to really help those folks that are in dire need of assistance. And Lord, just be with them. Give them a safe journey down and back. And Lord, may your love be overflowed out of them onto the people that come that are in need, that they might see you and your hand at work through them. Lord, just watch over them each and every day. Walk with us today as we gather together. Lord, we remember those who have fought the good fight, who have gone on before us, and we ask you to be with families that are hurting and with individuals because of the separation from this world. They've gone on to their eternal destiny, and Lord, we know that those who know you as Lord and Savior, for what a celebration that is, but for us that are left behind, it can be a very difficult struggle. Lord, we know you've said in your word that it's a walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And Lord, that there's mountains on either side and we draw closer to you. Help us up the mountain. Help us to grieve and Lord, continue to live. And walk with us as a body of believers. Shore us up. Let us know of your strength and of your care and your protection each and every day that we might live for you and others would see that and be drawn to you. Be with us as we continue to celebrate this day. In your name we pray. Amen.
I invite you to stand and join us in the singing of our hymns this morning. I'm going to start with "This Is the Day," and we'll sing through it twice.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Fine voice. Now join us in singing praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of all creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shelters thee under His wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires have been granted in what He ordaineth? Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy here daily attend. Almighty can do, if with His love we befriend thee. Praise to the Lord, oh let all that is in me adore Him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before Him. Let the amen sound from His people again. Gladly forever adore Him.
You may be seated.
If you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we'll read the 11th verse. We're walking through Hebrews chapter 11, 10 weeks on this chapter, and this week we'll be talking about Abraham's wife, Sarah. Hebrews 11:11. And it says, "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered Him faithful who had made the promise." May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of His word. At this time, if the kids want to come on down this morning, we'll have a little time with them. All right. We got room for everybody? Awesome. Awesome. Hey, just move that plant off to the side. It's okay. You can sit over there. You want to sit there? Yeah, Anna said she doesn't bite it anymore. Yeah. Okay, now, I'm sure that you know what this is, right? This is a phone. And what do you use a phone for? What's that?
To call
people. Because if somebody else has a phone, you can use your phone to call them. But I have a question. My phone's not connected to anything. Do you know how it works? How can you call someone when there's no connection? Wi-Fi? Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Sometimes through Wi-Fi. Sometimes, you see, the phone, it sends out a signal that goes up to a satellite way up in the sky, way beyond the clouds, way up there. And it takes a signal, and then it sends it back down to whoever has the phone that you're trying to get a hold of. Can you see that signal?
No.
We just know that it happens because when we call somebody, they answer the phone, right? So we know that it works even though we can't see it. Sometimes when we pray, it's kind of the same way. We pray, we just close our eyes and we think about God, and then we can talk to Him. There's no wires that connect us. There's a signal that goes out, and the Holy Spirit is what enables that signal to get back and forth to God. He carries it back and forth. And so when we think of God and we start talking to Him, He hears us, and sometimes He responds back. Now, He doesn't sound the same as it when someone you're talking to on the telephone. He speaks to our hearts, and He does it in such a way that we're able to learn what He wants and what He desires, and that's why He's given us His Word, the Bible, in order to communicate. So let's bow, close our eyes tight, and think about God, and then let's talk to Him. Heavenly Father, we know that You hear us. We're not sure how it all works, but we just rely on the Holy Spirit to make that happen. And Lord, we're down here in Worcester this morning, and we just ask, Lord, that You would just be with us and lift us up. Help us to know more and more about You. Help us with the lesson today and be with Kara and help her as she teaches. And Lord, just help us to learn and grow closer to You. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can go. I'm pretty sure Kara's back there.
Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before Thee, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love, and You're slow to anger. Your name is great, and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. Yeah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. On that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near, my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. I will worship Your holy name. I will worship Your holy name.
This morning I want to talk about Sarah. Sarah was Abraham's wife, and a lot of times we hear this story, but it just doesn't sink in. So I just want to take a minute and just tell you the story. I mean, Abraham and his wife, they got married, and things were going along just perfectly fine in the land of Ur. And then all of a sudden, God came to Abraham and said, look, I want you to move. I want to do great things through you, but I need you to relocate to a place. I'll tell you where it is. I could tell you where it was to start with, but you're not going to know where it is because it's a long ways off. So just trust me, have faith, and walk with me. And so Abraham says, okay, and they packed up their camel, and off they went to this new land. And one of the things that he told Abraham was that you're going to be the father of a great nation. Now, we know, or at least Abraham knew, that in order to be the father of a great nation, you had to have a lot of kids in order to make that happen. And so he began to do all the things with Sarah that one needs to do in order to start a family. You know, and they began. And it didn't happen. And so they tried again and again and again. And this went on, because sometimes it takes a while. And this went on 6 months, and then it went on a year, and then it went on 10 years. And Sarah, she was getting old. Now, Abraham was older than her, but we don't talk about Abraham. This is about Sarah. Sarah was getting old, and she was beginning to kind of get the picture that this isn't happening. And this whole great nation that God was going to build through Abraham had to be coming from some other way. And so she comes up with a harebrained idea. And she said, hey, you know what some other folks are doing in order to have a family is that one of our slaves, our handmaiden, if Abraham, you would sleep with the handmaiden, then we would be able to have a family. And there was a special way you had to do it. Without getting into details, they went through that process, and they ended up with a child. And then some time went, and Abraham and Sarah were still trying to have children of their own, and it just wasn't working, and God came to Sarah and said, Sarah, you're going to have a kid. And she laughs because she was an old codger. Now, I didn't say that in public, but I can say that about Sarah. And you see, Sarah was like 90. Can you imagine anybody here? No, don't answer. But 90 years old, and God says, you're going to have a child. And like a year from now, you're going to have this child. And she giggles. And she laughs. But a year later, she has a child. The child of the promise. Now, I'm going to walk through this story because there is a huge amount of vital information for us. If we're going to really walk by faith and have this connection to God that we really want to have, Sarah really gives us some tools in order to kind of help us along the way. But you see, so many times Sarah kind of, we push it aside because she giggled. She laughed. She laughed at God. I mean, that's got to be a big no-no. I mean, it just has to be. But Sarah still had a child and eventually a great nation called Abraham, father. So what is it with Sarah? Why would God include this in the Hall of Fame of Faith? If she laughed, shame on her. Well, this morning I'm going to look at that because I think I found some secrets here that'll really help us out in living a life of great faith. So this morning I want to start out by going to the next slide. Can you do that for me, Lynn, so we don't? Yes. Okay. Great faith does not mean you won't have doubts. I believe God's trying to tell us, great faith does not mean you won't have doubts. When we begin to think about it, there were a lot of people in Scripture that had doubts. Abraham had doubts. We read that Sarah had doubts. Jacob, who God renamed Israel, had doubts. Moses had doubts. Joshua had doubts. David had doubts. Esther had doubts. In fact, practically every individual in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews had doubts. In Psalms 13:1, David wrote, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Jeremiah said in Lamentations 5:20, "Why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us for so many days?" People of faith doubt. Now, I could go around this morning and go by a raise of hands. How many of you have doubted at one time or another? I'm not talking doubting your salvation. I'm not saying doubting that God exists. I'm talking about doubting that the plan or the road that he has you on really is the one that he wants you on. Doubting about the future. You see, but all of these people that we've mentioned, including Sarah, they doubted. Sarah even laughed. No laughing, this is serious. But the difference in every single situation is that they don't stay there. They don't remain in that doubt. Eventually, they make a choice to believe in spite of what they see and experience. Someone once told me, sometimes you have to look reality in the eye and deny it. Someone else once said that faith puts God between us and reality. My point is, it's not unusual for people of faith to experience doubt. The difference is, what will we do with it? That doubt, as it rises up, do we embrace it? Do we take it with us wherever we go? Do we imbibe in that doubt to the point that it takes us over? So much we see in the world in which we live, it almost seems like negativity is so prevalent that I'm wondering if people don't dig a hole, crawl in it, and then pull the negativity right over top of them so they can just dwell in that negativity all the time. Because it seems like people actually enjoy being in that pit. I don't think it's true. I just think they don't know what to do with it. They've got caught in their doubt. and they can't find a way out. The walk of faith is where that getting out of the hole actually begins. So second, great faith helps us to trust in God. I don't know what's going on, Lynn. Can you just hit the next one? You may have to just kind of help us walk through this morning. Great faith helps us to trust in God. How do I get there? How do I get to the point where I can truly trust God? D.L. Moody once said, "I prayed for faith and thought that someday it would come down and strike me like lightning, but faith didn't seem to come. Then one day, I read in Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I had, up to this time, closed my Bible and prayed for faith. Now I opened my Bible and began to study, and my faith has been growing ever since." Faith came by hearing. Now think about this. Sarah is said she is a woman of faith, and she's in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and she became that woman who heard God. And when she heard God, she walked by faith. Genesis 18 tells us that Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, and she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yeah, you did." She was busted. Now, I don't think that God was offended by the laughter. I really don't. And here's some, I actually read an account and some thought and some things that were put in by people that are very, very intelligent. And what they came up with in this article was that true laughter is generated from within, and we don't necessarily have control over it. Something strikes us as funny, it's just funny. It's not something that, if you ever seen somebody try to fake laughter, yeah, it just sounds terrible. I mean, truly, you try and fake it, maybe you get away with it, but usually you're just busted. Laughter comes from within. And it's not necessarily that something is funny. I have been in situations where laughter becomes prevalent, and then anything makes everybody laugh. But it's a spontaneous outpouring of what comes from inside. We either think it's funny or we don't. And I think when God told Sarah she was going to have a kid, she said, "I'm 90 years old. Really? Do you know how old I'm going to have to live to get this kid through college?" I mean, when you begin to think about 90 years old, I think I'd giggle too. I mean, this is nuts. And she laughs, but God puts her as an individual of faith, not because she laughed or she didn't laugh, but she was willing to walk by faith because God told her that she became pregnant because she believed that God would give her a child. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm 59 years old. I'm going to have a birthday here in a month and a half. And the thought of Lynn getting pregnant right now really is not cool. I love her dearly, but the thought of raising a little one, it's 60, 70, 80. I'd be 83 when they graduate from college. There's not time to get money after that. I'd just be poor. You know, and you begin to think about all of that and all the responsibility. I'm all excited about grandchildren, but that's because you can love them and send them home. You know, if they stay, it's a short time. It's a controlled environment. You know, and the amount of spunk within the grandparent is directly proportional to how long the grandchildren can stay. I mean, it's just, but when you're the mom and you're the dad, they don't go home. They think they want to live with you all the time. Sarah trusted God. and said, you know what? Yeah, I think it's laughable, God, that you're doing this to me. But you know what? You promised an heir. You promised that Abraham would be the father of a great nation. I believe, even after Abraham had done everything that we could for eons, I have faith that a year from now I'm going to have a little one. What a wonderful thing. Do we have that kind of faith? Are we willing to trust in our God? See, because great faith, go to the next slide, I'm sorry. Great faith helps us to hear God speak. You see, Sarah heard God speak. God spoke to her there in the book of Genesis. And as he was talking to her, she heard, I believe, three things. And I'm just going to go through them real quick. First, go to the next slide. The first, she heard that that God had heard her laugh. I mean, there she was. She was in the tent. I mean, God wasn't there, but God, you know, tents are not real private. But at the same time, she was there. God heard her. Secondly, for the first time, she had personally heard God's promise. Up until that time, God had spoken, but everything came from Abraham to her. This is the first time God spoke to her. And she heard God say, I will return to you at the appointed time next year, Sarah, and you will have a son. And the third thing is that God said something she probably thought about before, but maybe hadn't fully realized. And he said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too difficult for God? I know we struggle with that, and there's obstacles that come up in our lives, and things happen, and we begin to entertain. There's that old catch the Christian off guard adage that said, can God make a rock so big he can't move it? And you know what the answer to that is? The answer is yes. And then if God wanted that rock someplace else, well, he'd just move it over there. I mean, but it's one of those things that we need to understand, that anything is possible with God. And if we're willing to give him that authority, if we're willing to walk by faith and say, okay, God, whatever it is, it's possible. You know, you can give a 90-year-old lady a child. I mean, you can do anything. And I'll trust you for that anything. I may walk along kicking and screaming, but my faith will hold me strong that anything is possible, and then walk down that road. If you go to the next slide, Lynn. You see, great faith recognizes that you can't do it without God. God can do it. I can't. Have you ever had those situations come up where you put everything together and you organize it and you bring it there, you put it on a spreadsheet, all the numbers, punch in the formulas so that they add and subtract on their own so you don't have to. When you get it all put together and you come down and the total is more than what you have. And so you go back and you refigure it and you keep refiguring it. And when you come down 100% of the time, the total is bigger than the amount that you have. Have you ever had to walk down that road and you realize, God, I'm going to do everything that I can. I'm not going to do anything extra. There'll be no McDonald's. Nuggets have got to go. I won't buy pop at the store. I will do everything so that we can meet that figure at the bottom. And God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but God, you have to do it because there's no other way. When Lynn and I were in Chicago, we had some of those moments. And it was then I'd get a little excited. Laughing not because I was laughing at God, but giggling because I didn't know how God was going to work it out, but I knew that he was. We hadn't done anything wrong. We were doing everything right. There just wasn't enough money in the bank to pay all the bills. And I'd say, okay, God, I'm going to walk by faith. I'm not going to doubt. I know you can do it. I just don't know how we're going to get there. But the last week of the month, it would be really nice to have food. If we could do that and pay the bills, I'm happy. Every time something happened. Now, sometimes I would get a phone call and there would be someone who needed help that could actually pay me for some of my skills, which was really cool. And I would go do little side jobs. Sometimes, literally, God would make things appear in our bank account. It was the weirdest thing in the world. I still don't know where some of that money came from. Lynn looks at me and rolls her eyes, but it appeared. I don't know where it was. We had balanced with the bank every month, and poof, it was there anyway. Don't know where it came from, but we spent it. And it all worked. And every time it worked out, because I was doing everything, well, Lynn and I were doing everything that we could. And God was working it out. God could. I had no idea how he was going to. I mean, there was a time I walked out of my apartment and there was a brown bag on the floor, and well, the place I lived in wasn't the nicest, so you picked up somebody's garbage as they threw it down, and I picked it up, and when I got to school, there was money inside. I was on the way to tell the financial aid department that I didn't have enough money to pay my tuition and hoped and prayed that they weren't going to throw me out of school. But I looked inside the bag, I don't know why. It's one of those human things that we do, and saw that there was money in there. And when I got to school and was telling them about it, they told me how much I owed, and just for fun, I took the money out of the bag. And there was the right dollar amount to pay. And my tuition would have been like 62 cents short. So I looked in the bag. There were two quarters. Now I was 12 cents short, and I went, I found 2 cents in this pocket and a nickel in that pocket. I had an extra penny. Amazing how God does things when we do what we can do and allow God to do what he does and walk by faith and not by sight. And it is amazing what God's able to do. But we have to acknowledge, God, I know that if you do not do something divine intervention here, I'm sunk. Now, let me also say, there are times whenever I did things that weren't what God wanted me to do, and I spent too much time getting chicken nuggets at McDonald's, and you know what? When it all came down to the end, there wasn't quite enough because I had blown some of my money. My responsibility wasn't where it should have been. God met his part, but I came short on mine. This is one of those things you need to understand, that that's part of it as well. But great faith recognizes that I can't do it, but God can. And the last slide this morning. That was the last slide? Well, wonderful. Then I know exactly where I'm supposed to be. Let me catch up on my notes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, here we go. Okay. Now, you would think, literally, it's written right in my notes. You would think that was the end of the story. That's what's next. You would think that would be the end of the story, but it's really not. You see, I see here, and I've read several theologians that pick up as well on the life of Sarah, and they're saying, look, this is a reflection of Christianity. This is a reflection of you and I and how we are to live our life. It comes down to faith. It comes down to a faith that we are willing to put in our God. And it makes no sense to the rest of the world. But yet at the same time, we know that God loves us, that he'll take care of us, and in that, he offers to us forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that our world seeks. They want it desperately. And they don't know how to get it. And that's what's causing this great black cloud of doubt, because we want to be forgiven. We want to know that. And it's essential. And what God offers to us exactly that, that's the forgiveness that comes, because there's nothing I can do to earn that forgiveness. I can work real hard, and you know what? I'm still guilty. I can put everything that I have into it, and I still come short. This has to be accepted by faith that God's going to forgive me. And when I'm willing to do that and take that step, His forgiveness overwhelms. But I can't earn it. I can't buy it. I can't negotiate. I can't trade. It's a gift that comes from God, and all I can do is admit that I'm not cool enough or good enough for that to happen. But God says, I know that. Will you exercise great faith? Will you put your faith in a God that wants to forgive us? He wants to forgive us so bad that Jesus walked on the earth, lived a perfect life, and then gave that life on a cross. He wants us to know forgiveness. But we have to accept it. God offers it, but we have to accept it. And here's the tough thing. We have warped forgiveness so much in our world. And because forgiveness is essential in our world. It's essential to who we are as individuals. And in order for forgiveness to work, you have to be willing to accept it. I can offer you forgiveness. You're forgiven. It doesn't mean anything if you don't pick it up. It doesn't mean a thing. But if that forgiveness is offered and you accept that forgiveness, that bond, that relationship is put back together. In the same way, God offers us forgiveness. If we don't accept that forgiveness, that bond isn't there. We need that bond to live each and every day. And as such, then, God says, look, you've received this forgiveness from Him. He said, forgive everybody else. Yeah, except for Uncle Bob. You know how Uncle Bob is. Nobody forgives him. He's a turkey. No. He says, forgive everybody. Just like God forgives everybody and waits for them to accept it, He asks us to do the same. Forgive everybody in the hopes that they'll accept it. Because the truth of the matter is, if they don't accept it, it's their fault. In the same way, if we don't accept that forgiveness from God, it's our fault. And we carry that with us. And I think the problem in the United States is that we haven't accepted the forgiveness that God offers, and then we try and have a joyous life. Now, we get moments where we can have joy, like the Browns are playing at 1. The Steelers are also playing at 1. We'll be watching the Browns. But it's one of those things. There's moments of joy. There's times where we can build up. But I'm not talking about moments. I'm talking about a relationship that when we receive that forgiveness, that joy is imputed into us. It's placed within us and overflows all the time. If the joy is not overflowing in your heart all the time, I want to help you get a better connection with the God that loves us. Because that's what it's all about. And we accept His forgiveness, and it changes us on the inside and makes us different people. Sarah, God said, you're going to have a child. And she went, poof. And I believe that within the United States, God says, I'm going to fill your heart up with joy to overflowing. And people are going, really? I believe it when I see it. Let me tell you a secret. If you're going to wait until you see it to believe it, you may miss the boat. And that offering is there. Let me tell you, as a pastor, that joy within my heart never stops. Even when my tires go flat. Even when other individuals act like humans, and I want to shake my head. Even when life becomes difficult, that joy doesn't stop, because these are my circumstances. This is my relationship. And it's just like in a reflection of my relationship with Lynn. When times were tough, we actually grew closer together. Why? Because we were going through tough times. Our relationship was strengthened because we relied on each other. And in the same way, when life gets difficult, we need to be relying more on the God that loves us, that he might impute more of his love to us. Sorry, King James word, impute. Have that joy thrust upon us, filled to the full and overflowing. Great faith results in a joy that overflows. And even if we've laughed at how much God loves us, even if we've laughed at what all he can do, his love is still offered. His forgiveness is still there. Will we take that and make that part of who we are? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Sarah was amazing. She was amazing in that even though she never heard your voice, she was willing to relocate with her husband. Even that she had never heard your voice, she desired to walk in obedience with you, and she tried everything that her mind could conceive of, even though some of her ideas were a little bit off base. And when you spoke to her, she laughed because it seemed unfathomable that at her age she could have a child. But you said in your word, and it's recorded of her faith in you, because you said it would happen, therefore Sarah knew that it was going to happen. And she began the preparations that would need to be made for that day to arrive. She had great faith. Help us in the midst of our doubts. Help us in the midst of our struggles. Help us in the midst of day-to-day life to put our faith in you. Lift us up and give us that joy that overflows, that knows no bounds, even in the midst of the circumstances we find ourselves in. Because our eternal destiny, our relationship with you, true forgiveness has been applied to our heart, and it's changed who we are. Draw us closer to you, Lord. And all these things we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
I invite you to stand and join us in the singing our closing hymn, "To God Be the Glory."
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus our pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him
Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done,
and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son.
But purer and higher and greater will be
our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son,
and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
May we go from this place with God's hand upon us to give us strength, to give us true joy, that the world would see the difference that He has made in us. Amen.